Thank you, Donna, and good morning, church. I hope you guys are doing well and are joyful and remember and know that the Lord is faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and we're going to begin our service, but let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today, for allowing us to enjoy, Lord, being in your presence, God, worshiping you, God, through song and through your word, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, because you are faithful, Lord, and even in times of difficulties, Lord, just like the psalmist wrote and said in Psalms 42, he repetitively said, why is my heart so discouraged? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? But still, I will praise the Lord. Still, I will praise the Lord. He is my Savior. He's my God. And so let that prayer be for us as well, God. Let that be true in our hearts as well as we get into a time of worship, God. That even if we don't feel it, Lord, may we still give this time to you. Lord, prepare our hearts. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's restart that. Sorry. I might need a battery. That's the difficulties with the guitars. It doesn't let you know when the battery is low, and when you have it connected, it drains out easily. So, thank you. Thank you guys for your patience.
Technical difficulties. Are you guys all awake this morning? Ready to praise the Lord? You can use this time to like get out the wiggles and like get the blood flowing and be like, yes, Jesus, I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm here, let's go.
All right. Sorry.
All right.
Okay. Okay, cool. Awesome. Hey, praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm down. I'll praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the waters, my enemy is drowned.
See, as long as I'm breathing.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise when I feel it.
I praise when I feel it. Praise when I don't. I praise cause I know. Praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
Amen. All right.
Good morning, church family. Welcome to Calvary Chapel St. George. Before you sit down, would you please turn around, greet people around you, make everyone feel welcome. It's good to see y'all here. All right. Again, it's good to see you guys here. My name is Johnny. I am the youth leader here at Calvary Chapel St. George. Before we get into it, is there anybody who's here for the very first time? Would you be so bold as to raise your hand if you're here for the first time? Over here, good to see you guys here. Keep your hands raised nice and high over here as well. Good to see you. All right. So if you have your phones, pull them out. Make sure that they're on silent mode or even turned off. You don't want them to go off during the service, being a distraction to people around you. But while you have those out, if you want to pull up the CCSG app, or if you don't have it, you can download it on the Apple Play Store. And click the bulletin tab at the bottom right corner and just follow along. So we only do about 3 or 4 announcements per Sunday. We end up covering them all, but just so that you make sure that you're following along, if I ever misspeak or say the wrong date, you want to make sure that you have those announcements proper. So, okay, without further ado, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord for the fathers. So a lot of years in the past, we've given out devotionals or booklets, and so instead of doing that or giving out beef jerky sticks for all the dads in the house, this year we're actually going to be donating to a ministry called Operation Heal Our Patriots, and it is a Samaritan's Purse ministry. And so what they do is it's sort of like a retreat for couples, whether it's the husband who served in the military or the wife, and they go up there and they're able to sort of retreat and get back on their feet. You know, it can be difficult if you've gone through something traumatic, if they have PTSD. And so getting them grounded also back in the Word, but back in their marriage as well. And so it's a beautiful ministry that they have. If you have any more questions on what it is, you can look it up on Google. It's the first link, and just read, and they go over the ministry exactly, like what it's doing, the ins and outs of that ministry. So we're going to be giving towards that ministry as a church. Next is Sunday, June 30th. We are having water baptisms following the third service. And so we have a baptismal out there, if you've ever seen it. And so if you've been waiting to be baptized, if you want to be baptized, maybe you've given your life for the first time, or maybe you've rededicated your life recently and you want to get baptized, you can pick up a testimony sheet over at the Connection Center in the West Commons. You can fill it out and turn it back in. Just, you know, it's asking basic things on how were you saved? How did you connect with, maybe how did the Lord touch your life? Why are you giving your life to the Lord? Do you understand, I guess, these things? And so just a testimony sheet on how the Lord changed your life. And if you want to get baptized, you can do that. So again, sign up at the Connection Center. Last one is Saturday, July 6th from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. So we're having our annual church pool party at the San Hollow Aquatic Center. It's for 3 hours. And so a lot of times in the past, we've had the young adults come and cook hamburgers and hot dogs. And so we're going to be doing the same thing. And so this is a great opportunity to invite friends and family, especially if you want them to maybe get acquainted with the church family, but they don't want to come to church or something. I think this is a great opportunity. Get them to a pool party. It's a low barrier to entry, and so you can just show up for that. It's completely free as well. All right, so tithes and offerings, we have these wooden giving boxes in the front and the back of the sanctuary, or you can give online at calvarysg.com/give, or on the website or the mobile app. So if you guys would, please stand up with me. I'll pray, and we'll get right back into worship. Father God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is to have breath in our lungs and the ability to praise you, Lord. And so I pray that our souls would praise you, not just through the worship and through the lyrics, but also through the studying of your word. So I pray that you would use these next 2 songs to silence our hearts, that we would lay things at your feet already, that we would already enter into a state of rest, being willing to hear from you. And Lord, as you use the word to teach us and to correct us, Lord, that we would walk out of here leaving our burdens behind. And so, God, I pray that you would use today to be a blessing to everyone who is here today, Lord. And I just pray that we would give this service into your hands, Lord. So have your way. Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you. the stars in the heavens. You set the world into motion. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You breathe your life in creation. You walked among your created. Oh, Jesus. Search the world for a love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing, holy, all the angels cry, holy. Salvation, you broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You rose from death with the morning. You'll come again in your spirit leads. Broken as as my life may be, I will give you every piece I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord. I am available. Here I am with open hands, counting on your grace again. Less of me and more of you. I just want to see you.
Just let that be the cry of our hearts this morning, Lord, that we are offering ourselves to you, Lord, that you can have it all, Jesus, all of our hearts, all of our dedication, all our minds, our focus, our trust, Jesus, that you are worthy of it all so you can have it all. So we surrender it to you this morning, Lord. We're grateful for this day, grateful for the breath in our lungs, grateful for fathers, Lord, and for the role and the position that you have given them in our lives and in this world, Jesus, as your example, Lord, as your replication of the great shepherd, Jesus. We thank you, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak through Matt this morning, that we would walk away with new perspective and refreshment, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Well, good morning. Go ahead and grab a seat. Get comfortable. We're going to get into our study this morning without any time to waste. So if you need a Bible this morning, go ahead and raise your hand nice and high. Our ushers have Bibles. They'll bring them to you. We won't be doing too much moving around, so you can get comfy. If you're looking for a place to turn, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And verse 28 is where we'll get to eventually. Today I have two announcements, little announcements here. First is we've talked about it already, but the Red Cross Blood Drive, okay? They have been a community partner of ours for a while, which is why we host them here at the church, and we ask you guys to fill the positions to donate blood. If you've never donated blood before, it's not terribly difficult. It's a little anxiety-ridden, but that's all. And I just want to encourage you guys. The last I had heard, and I don't know after first service, but there were 33 spots that the Red Cross could take. We had filled 4 of them. So I would encourage you today, if you've donated blood before, or if you're going, or if you're considering it, please do so. And you can go to our website, and I'm sure we have a link to getting to the Red Cross page, because you have to register with them for the time slot. But please do so. I know it's a few hoops, but the crazy thing about the Red Cross, one, if you download their app and you donate blood, they will tell you when your blood is used and how many people it helped or saved. And sometimes one donation can go to 2 or 3 donors sometimes. So it's really cool. And also, a lot of people don't know this, so we like to talk about it a lot. Blood has an expiration date. Once it comes out of you, it cannot sit on the shelf for very long. And so 3 to 6 months later, all of it is gone, even if it didn't get used. And so they're constantly in need. That's why they sound like vampires. They're always texting you. They're like, hey, we need more blood. And it's because they genuinely, to keep this thing going, to keep the saving treatments that they do going, they need us to donate. So encourage you strongly for that. Secondly, just a quick mention. For VBS, if somebody wanted to get involved with VBS but you can't serve, you're like, hey, but I donate stuff to it. We have a display out in the main common area right next to the drinking fountains. It's adorable. Rachel made it. It's beautiful. And there's instructions on the wall so you can go and see. Maybe you have some of the things that are there, so you take one of the little papers and take it home with you, so we know that somebody's bringing that stuff. Bring it back the next Sunday or during regular church hours. The explanation's on the board, and that's going to stay up either until we have all the needs that we have met or until VBS starts, and it'll rotate every week. That display is going to stay there, and there'll be new items added. So check it out if you've been wanting to help with VBS, or maybe you thought, I could donate a beach towel or some old t-shirts, and I think like beach totes are up there now. So maybe you have some of that stuff or something else, or you just want to bring candy. I think that's an option as well. So go check it out for us. We would be very blessed. So we're continuing in the Refresh series, and if you have your notebooks, I hope you're bringing them each week to take notes in. And if you didn't get a notebook, you're like, I feel left out. You're still going to be left out. I'm sorry. We've run out of them. But get something to write in, all right? Because the whole point of this is to make this an active part of the next weeks, okay? So if you're just joining us for this Refresh series and you intend to come along with us for the journey, then please be writing things down. Get a journal of some sort and take notes, obviously, on the messages, but each message will have a weekly component, something that you're meant to do. So just strongly encourage you to that. So we'll get started here. my topic, obviously, if you're following along on the back, I've got rest, okay? And I kind of laughed because when it first went out, I was like, oh, all these topics are really cool. I could see me doing all of them, except rest. I really don't want to get rest. And originally, I didn't have rest. I was on something else. And then Jerry goes, yeah, I got to move you to Father's Day. I go, oh, what one is that? He goes, rest. Dang it. So I get rest. But, and then I laughed, you know, a little joke to myself was, we got remember, reflect, reestablish, reset, recommit, refill, rejoice, and I get reest, right? There's no re there. I feel cheated. So, my name's Matt, one of the pastors here, and I'll be the last homegrown teaching for the rest of the series. Everybody else is going to be, I guess, teacher. So, glad to be with you for this one. So let's jump right in. First, the definition of rest. If it didn't have what it has in it, I wouldn't copy Josh's teaching last time. He did the definition to start. And if it didn't have the word refresh right in it. So rest is to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. And I thought, how appropriate. We're not allowed to not start with it. Now, rest has a bunch of other definitions, but this one certainly is going to suit us for our study of rest in the scripture. And what I want to tell you, as some of you may know, is that God himself is very serious about rest. All right, rest is mentioned in the first chapters of the Bible. As God creates the whole world, 6 days, and the seventh day, which he always includes in the creation. It's never left out. He's like, I created the world in 6 days, and that's it. No, it's always the 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Okay, so the first thing in. Later in the law given to Moses, in the book of Exodus, God says, remember the Sabbath rest to keep it holy. He even institutes a harsh punishment later for those in Israel who would violate the Sabbath rest and who would refuse to enter into that rest. In Leviticus, God tells us that even the land itself requires rest. 6 years, you're going to till the ground. On the seventh year, you're not going to do that. You're going to let it rest. So God's pretty serious about rest. And today, the truth of it is that we are in deep need of rest ourselves. A Healthline.com article goes over some of the symptoms and potential causes of what it calls emotional exhaustion. The symptoms of emotional exhaustion can be emotional and physical, but generally the symptoms include a lack of motivation, trouble sleeping, irritability, physical fatigue, feelings of hopelessness, absent-mindedness, apathy, headaches, change in appetite, nervousness, difficulty concentrating, irrational anger, increased cynicism or pessimism, a sense of dread, depression. And some of you are like, how did they get my weekly schedule? How do they do that? Some of the common triggers of emotional exhaustion include high-pressure jobs, such as nurses, doctors, police officers, teachers, intense schooling, such as medical school, working long hours or working at a job that you hate, having a baby, having or raising children, financial stress or poverty, homelessness, being a caregiver for a loved one, prolonged divorce proceedings, which puzzled me. I thought divorce proceedings were enough to make somebody stressed out. Death of a family member or friend, living with a chronic illness or injury. And I don't know if you realized what I realized when I read that list, but it's that people are weary. People are weary of life itself, right? I mean, those are common. I'm fairly certain that there's not a person in here that doesn't have one of those happening in their life on some level. And people are in distress because of just the ongoings of life. And some of you are that way. So you see, we right now are in desperate need of rest. Not only the world, but the church. It's no different. So part one. Part one is burdens. Okay, have you, a question for yourself, have you found the life-giving nature of following Jesus Christ. All right, many of you have had that moment of transformation where it felt like a great weight was lifted off your shoulders. The day you decided to follow Jesus, you confessed your sin, you were forgiven, or you were told you were forgiven, and you carried on, but sometime after, you don't know how long, but sometime after, a different weight you noticed on your shoulders. Where now all of a sudden, instead of just the burden of sinfulness or hopelessness, now this thing you view as your Christian duty or your holy service to God, you know, I'm a Christian now, I gotta live like a Christian, I gotta act like a Christian. All of a sudden that becomes the work that you need to keep up. Or it's the work that you just can't attain to. Like, I've been trying to do this Christian thing, I can't do it. I can't get it right. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes you're like, I got this area, I'm good over here, but I know I should be doing this. I know I should be this good. So you're both keeping up appearances and acknowledging I am hopelessly unable. And so we struggle to stay good or are completely overtaken by our inability to be good at all. And what is that? What comes from that? What things prevent us from coming to rest? Burdens. Burdens of guilt and of shame. You know, sin and obvious sin in your life right now is going to be the first thing, the number one culprit in hindering you from coming to rest in the Lord. But that's not the only thing, because some of you are like, yeah, but I don't really do that old stuff, but I can't forget it. That sin in your past can bear its weight down on you. It can weigh on your soul, and it can deny you rest. One verse for us this morning is from 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. And it's one I quote all the time. Its value is hard to be overstated. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so while we struggle to do what's right and to let go of sin, the Lord has said in many ways, first off, we're not meant to be the ones exalting ourselves, building ourselves up, but we should be humbling ourselves before God, and he will exalt you, which means to raise up. And we can cast every care, every burden, every weight. This is an invitation for you to lay it all down before the Lord. Because he cares for you, his heart is inclined toward you. And that's a delightful promise. Sometimes it's not easy though, right? Sometimes we struggle with that. Okay, I don't necessarily know how to lay my burdens down. I still feel this weight. Another thing that comes up when we talk about self-righteousness is we're at a loss, okay? You know, sometimes we come to this idea of rest and we just go, okay, in my holy struggle, right? I am trying to do this thing called Christianity, and I know if I can just read my Bible enough or pray enough, or if I can just find a level of spiritual maturity, okay, that I'm gonna have a breakthrough, and immediately rest is just gonna come upon me. I'm gonna have it in spades because I finally mastered this many scriptures or something. We think that we'll become good enough that rest will find us. And we'll reach that level of righteousness that'll give us the peace that we're looking for. Guys, it's not so. That is not going to happen. Because we forget something. We forget that we're not going to heaven or receiving the gifts of God because of what we've done for him. And we might, if somebody asks you that, is that true? And you'd be like, yeah, of course that's true. But we forget when it comes to ourselves and our own heart. But the righteousness of Christ, the Bible teaches over and over again, is applied to you. simply by faith in the person of Jesus. Because we consider sin, often in our mind, in our hearts. Okay, I'm just supposed to not do the bad thing. Okay, I'm just supposed to not be evil. But doing nothing is also sin, because the common definition of the word sin is to miss the mark. So not only is it don't do these things, but it's when we know what we're supposed to be doing, something that we're supposed to do, and we don't do that. That's what real righteousness looks like, and yet we don't do that. Idleness is not godliness, okay? A Christian who's not moving or doing something is not practicing righteousness. And so it becomes a hindrance to us. It becomes a hindrance to our rest when we forget all of it. Our sin is forgiven, yes, but the righteousness of Christ is applied to you. And you aren't meant to be in some holy struggle for goodness. Especially not when we talk about our relating to the God of the universe. Philippians 3, 8 to 9, Paul writes, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." These burdens, these things that weigh us down, our own righteousness or our own sinfulness, both are dealt with in the same place, in the person of Jesus. They should not hinder our rest. But all these are the spiritual aspects of what might deny your soul rest. But there's just burdens of busyness, all right? All these spiritual struggles say nothing about the physical struggles, some of which were in that list of things that cause emotional exhaustion, right? It's just life. It's busy. It's fraught with difficult things. But we have a sympathetic Savior in Jesus, because God himself entered into our sufferings, and in the person of Jesus Christ, he offered something you want. He offered something you need. In the person of Jesus, he offered rest. Matthew 11, if you turn there. Matthew 11, 28. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Are you looking for rest? I have an answer to that. I have a prescription for you. The answer is, come to me, says Jesus. He says, I will give you rest. Rest is not something that you can take hold of. You have to go and get it and be given it. But he says, you come to me, you take my yoke, you learn from me. Not only is he gentle, but he says, you will find rest for your souls. So part one, the burdens, what's the encouragement? What's the answer here? Take off the backpack. In Pilgrim's Progress, okay, it's an old book now that's been remade about a dozen times now into movies of varying qualities. But the main character in the first half, his name is Christian. And after beginning so joyously his journey on the straight and narrow path, he finds himself completely halted and unable to move forward because he'd been carrying on his own shoulders the burdens this whole time. And in the series, it looks like a backpack that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and the burdens heavier and heavier. All the while, he does not realize that he can lay these burdens down at the feet of Jesus. The prime moment comes when he'd already decided to follow Christ, and then he comes face to face with the cross, right? He hadn't seen the cross yet. He comes face to face with the cross, and as he finally gets it and he yields to the Lord, it's like the burdens literally fall off of him and roll down a hill. So step one, arrest for us, is take off the backpack. Part two, which is the secret. How do we get the promised rest? Okay, lay my burdens down. Got it. I'm still not resting. I'm still fraught. You know, if I could, you know, like some sort of meditative state, I can empty my mind of all these things. But then I have to turn around and go right back to my life. And I don't feel rested. How do we get rest when life is this crazy? We look and we can see from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is perhaps one of the most overdone of the prophets. God told him that he wasn't to marry anyone. He was supposed to go alone in his calling. He was told that his family would reject him, that the whole country would reject him, excuse me. And when we look at the scriptures about Jeremiah, it appears that not a single person in the nation listened to his message. And he preached for decades. If we had a missionary that had a track record like that, we might be like, you'd think it's time to come home or something? Maybe the Lord can use you better somewhere else. And how did Jeremiah feel about it? Well, he wrote the book of Lamentations. You ever read Lamentations? It's sad. In chapter 3, he writes, I feel trapped. I feel dark. I feel like a gravestone with no name, and nobody remembers me. That's heavy. But what does he write? In Jeremiah 15:16, he says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. How? How is it possible? His life was impossibly difficult, and yet he gets to say that he has joy and rejoicing in his heart? Well, the answer's right there. Your words were found and I ate them. Eating the words of God. Interesting way to describe it, right? Because if we're thinking about this seriously, eating is far more than just reading the words themselves, right? An atheist can read the Bible. It doesn't make them saved. An atheist can read the words of God. It doesn't mean he's collecting on the promises that he read. He probably doesn't even understand what they mean. For us as Christians, eating the words of God is more than reading and checking off the box. Okay, did my 15 minutes today. Got it. Boom. We got to meditate on God's word. We have to stop. We have to slow down. What does it say? Your words were found. There's a search on. He is looking for something. He's looking for something to apply to his life. When he finds it, it says he ate the words. He ate them. Guys, when you eat something, we know that you eat something and literally on the molecular level, it becomes a part of your body. It becomes a part of who you are, sometimes in worse ways than others, right? And yet, the Word of God. Why did God make him say, I ate it? He took it into himself. And it didn't just pass through. The words to him were joy and rejoicing. What can we do? We can search God's Word. We can be looking for something. Looking for something to apply to our life, to our situation. And it doesn't have to be like the Bible roulette. You're really desperate and you have no idea where to read. You just flop it open, you know. This has got to be it. Then you read some weird thing. You're like, that didn't make any sense. A diligent search doesn't look like that, does it? Like if you went into a library and you're looking for a specific book, just picking one at random, it's not going to help you, right? You're going to go to where you know the thing is. Anybody Dewey Decimal System in here, people? And he says, joy and rejoicing in my heart, for I am called by your name. All of Jeremiah's struggle, all of his difficulty, and what was the answer to those? Guys, it was Jesus. It was the name above any other name that he's trusting in. The Almighty God. What does that mean for me? You know, to take it from his perspective. You know, what if no one will marry me, he thinks. Well, I have you, Jesus. What if my family hates me? Well, I have Jesus. What if my job itself is a failure? Jesus, you have a plan and a purpose for me. What if no one listens to the message that I bring, your message? I suppose I'm listening to the message. The answer is Jesus is all we need. And we search his word to receive of it. The cure for the depressed spirit. Say, okay, Matt, sounds great, but I don't really particularly feel depressed. But I'm certainly depleted. I'm tired. How do I get rest? Where does one go for the strength, the relaxation, and the refreshing? It's definitional to what rest is. How do I get that? Where are we supposed to get that? We're going to take our cue from Jesus himself. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Jesus' ministry is something that some of us would dread to be the key player in the sense that what he had to do day in and day out, be in the spotlight, be judged by literally everyone, time demanded of by everyone, the masses sought after him, the authorities sought after him constantly. Every time he was looking for a break, he was getting interrupted. How did he find rest? How did he do it? He went to his father. See, it tells us in the scripture, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. How did he do that without an alarm clock? Like, I just set like 6 alarms for this morning. I woke up after 2, which I'm grateful for, but I was worried. How did he do it? He just, the sun's not even up. He's like, I'm up. Time to go pray. He goes alone. He doesn't tell anybody where he's going. He goes to a secret place in the quiet hour. There's the place that no one joins you but God. That's what we need to do. Now, maybe it's not that hour in the morning, 2 hours before the sun's up, that you get up and go out of your house and go somewhere that nobody else knows about. But the point of it is you must carve out time. You must. And some of you are like, I don't have an extra hour to spare, and I certainly can't wake up earlier. I'm already tired as it is. Do you trust God to fuel you? Is more sleep somehow more powerful than the Almighty God who's called you to this? Or perhaps it's more that we're just simply unwilling to do what we know it is that we would need to do to find rest. And I'm reminded of Jesus as he's going to the cross, because he goes to the Last Supper, and immediately following, they go to the garden to pray in the middle of the night. And he goes to the disciples, he says, don't sleep, but pray, lest you fall into temptation. And before the prayers were over, he was arrested, taken into captivity. He didn't sleep that night. He didn't sleep the rest of the time. Why? Because they were hauling him all over the place and beating him. He had no rest, no physical rest. How did he do it? He spent time in true rest and trusted that the Lord would fuel him. It brings us to part three, which is determination. And I do not mean a character attribute. I mean we need to make a determination. We need to see our spiritual life with fresh eyes. We need to get a clear look at where are we with the Lord really. So you've entered this place of rest. You came to your secret place. Now what? What do you do with the time? If you make it like every other time you talk to the Lord, is there going to be a difference? What we need here now is an examination. We need an examination from the great physician. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, Jesus is speaking, giving messages, letters to the seven churches. And start of chapter 3, it says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Oh, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Jesus gives an examination of their relationship with him. He gives them a direct message. And remember this, because I know as I talk about this, at least in my own heart, I get anxious to ask God what he really thinks about me. Because I just got rid of all these burdens and all this stuff, you know, we laid them down, we got clean, and now we're like, Lord, is there something you need to tell me? And what if he laid some heavy trip on you? Well, you just got done accepting the promise of laying down your burdens. If he showed you more things, you could lay those down too. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Okay, but in your quiet time, how do you ask the doctor the right question? Because it's Father's Day, so I'm going to pick on my dad. Doctor's visits, all right? You go into the doctor. You were supposed to talk to him about five things. You only remember two of them. Okay, how are you supposed to get it across? What are you even supposed to ask? You don't even know what it's called. All right, and you know, Lord forbid, the wife comes with you, right? Doctor's asking questions. How's your diet doing? Oh, yeah, it's doing great. Great. She laughs. Ha! No, it ain't. Doctor stops asking you questions, start asking her questions. It's impossible to self-diagnose, right? In fact, one of the number one rules of medicine or psychology is no self-diagnosis. We're blind to ourselves. Pride and all sorts of things get in the way. We cannot see ourselves clearly. You guys, you cannot see your own spirit clearly for what it is without the Lord showing you. You can't know. Okay, so we got to ask Jesus. Got it. What are we asking? What does Jesus need to know to give us an accurate diagnosis? And so Psalm 193, verse 23 to 24. David gives us a clue here. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Friends, Christ can search you. Jesus can see what he needs to see. We invite him to do it. We say, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." Okay, you can't even, sometimes you're anxious and somebody goes, "What's wrong?" "I don't know, man. My heart's beating out of my chest. I have no clue what's wrong. I'm just anxious." Jesus knows. Jesus can find out. "See if there's any wicked way in me." This one is what scares me, right? It's like, "Lord, hopefully it's not a long list. Be gentle." But there's, you know, the scripture talks about sin and transgression in a way that it's not just the things that you do that you know you're doing against God that make us guilty, but it's the things we do we got no clue about, right? The sign said, "Keep off the grass," and here you are walking all over it. You didn't know. So you say, "Lord, is there a way in me that I should not be going?" And when he shows you the way, what do? Don't let it be a burden. Don't be afraid to come to Jesus in this quiet moment. You're supposed to be searching for rest. You have anxiety about getting rest because you're like, it's just going to be another dunk on mat session, right? What's he not doing right this week? That's not how he is. That's not what the Lord wants to do. How do I know that? The next line, "And lead me in the way everlasting." Jesus wants to take you by the hand and show you the way to go. You're not struggling on your own. You know, I'm reminded of my own son, my own little boy. As a father, I look at him and he's trying to do something and I want to help. And he wants to do everything on his own. Right? And I'll ask him, I'll say, "Zion, you want some help?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go to help him and he goes, "No, let me do it." Okay, all right. We bought like a $5 grabbing tool. You know, it's like 3 foot long, has a handle you squeeze. And he was trying to pick up rocks outside and like amongst all the other rocks. So he just couldn't get the thing on the rock he wanted. So I try to come help him. He's like doing this. He can't even get a proper grip on it with his hand. And he's trying to scoop these things up. And he can't even do it. And so I try and help him a little bit. And he goes, let me do it. I go, okay. So I pick like 4 choice rocks, okay, perfect size. I bring them over from the rock bed. I bring it to the concrete and separate them out. Okay, now he's got less obstacles in the way. This should be easier. He still goes for that same like claw grabber machine technique. That's not going to work, dude. Let me hold it for you. Get your hands on here. He goes, "No, let me do it. Do you want my help or not?" "Yes, I want your help." "Okay." "No, let me do it." That's us with God, isn't it? Life goes crazy. "God, help me." "No, let me do it." That's us. But Christ can lead you in the way. It takes a little bit of yielding, though. It takes giving in and letting go of control. It takes a release of our burdens. It takes going with no what's the word? I had it and I lost it immediately. No motives, no ulterior motives. You know, we're going to go to God burdenless. We're going to let go of the things that hinder us, but we're also going to come without agenda. So much of our prayer life is just rattling off the cares that we have. And we read 1 Peter, you're invited to do that with God. But the stillness, that quiet place, is not necessarily meant for that. Are you going to hear from the Lord? And are you gonna ask the right questions? Are you gonna give it to him? You're gonna say, all right, give me the news, right? Because a doctor, you know, perhaps, you know, something that people fear a lot is a cancer diagnosis, right? But I think the truth of it is, people want to know. They'd rather not live in ignorance if it's on them, right? And maybe if you're older, you're like, yeah, ignorance is bliss. I've already lived my life. But what if you're 40 and you got kids and you got a wife who needs you? And you might be, you know, you're like, me and the big man, we're good, you know. I could die at any time. Come, Lord Jesus. But you look at your family and you go, ugh, they need me. You'd want to know. You'd want to know, is there something I can do about this, or do I have to prepare for the worst? Can I fight for the sake of them? You know, who cares about me? For the sake of them, can I fight? But we don't always think of our spirits like that, do we? Where if we're in a bad way that could destroy a part of our lives or sink the whole ship because we're not finding rest in Jesus and we're not willing to even ask him, what do we need? It's like not asking the doc, you know, what's the prognosis there, doc? What do I do? And so this leads me to salvation, because perhaps you're one who's, you know, maybe you've never given over those burdens at all. You're like, Matt, you talked about feeling free before when you come to Jesus. So I've never felt free. I've never come to Jesus. Okay, well, I'm talking to you. And maybe you're the person who's like, I felt free. I thought I was free. I'm burdened now. I'm tired. I need rest. And I don't know how to get it. I'm not getting it. And all my attempts to get it are pretty terrible. Guys, Christ died for you, right? We know that. We've heard that. Christ died for us. And it is not the two pieces of wood that saves somebody's soul. It's the man who hung on those two pieces of wood. You won't find rest for your souls without the true relationship with the man who was on that cross. And there's no level of spiritual busyness that can satisfy someone's soul. True rest requires the relinquishing of all that we have, all that we are, so that when we come to Christ, no triumph, no trouble of our heart would be hindering a true and honest desire to simply hear from him. We desire to find rest. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, I'll give it to you. Come to me, lay down that stuff. You don't need to be busy, all right? You need to be still. And most of us, I think, have an anxiety about, oh, but if I, you know, like in the ministry. Okay, all right, confession time. I'm so guilty. I'm so guilty of this, guys. They gave me rest and I didn't want it because I don't know how to do it. Ask my wife. I'm so bad at this. She's like, ask, does Matt ever find good rest in the Lord? She goes, I don't know if you know how. Like, stopping is so difficult. And when you view the ministry, and I thank God that Jerry is away, right? Because when you're here, you just stay busy. This is why I said get out of your, you know, your secret place? It's not in your house, most likely. Get out of that space. That'll keep you busy, I promise. You'll think about everything but the Lord in there. You'll be like, I got dishes, all the kids, all this, that, and the other thing. You'll be distracted, I promise. Go somewhere else. And for myself, you know, we need to find that space where we can actually be alone with the Lord, or we're not going to succeed in this. You know, even when Jesus took his disciples to pray that fateful night, right? They were over here and he went a stone's throw away. He's like, okay, we're praying, but we're not together. We're praying to the Lord God, right? We're going to do this. It's you and him. We need it. We need the rest. This whole refresh thing, you know, if you learn how to remember, if you learn how to reflect, how to reestablish, how to reset, recommit, refill, the last one might be real difficult if you didn't learn how to rest. How do you rejoice if you're that tired, if you're that exhausted, if the world has you that weary? We need rest for our souls. It's found in one place. It's found in the man, Jesus. Not in any holy huddle that you can be a part of. Not in any striving that you can do yourself. It's actually about the arresting of our labors, right? That was the Sabbath. Stop it. Stop working. Do you trust God enough to provide? You know, if I leave the ministry here on a Sunday, is the children's ministry going to fall apart? No. There might be difficulties, but they'll figure it out. What about your family? If you make sure that there's one day a week that you do not work, is your family going to have enough money to keep going? Some of you got 2-3 jobs. You work every single day of your life. You don't take a Sabbath. You don't take a rest. Who's more powerful, cash or Jesus? The answer seems obvious, doesn't it? But when you're looking at your bank account and you're in the red for the third time this month, you're like, man, that hurts. You probably need to find some rest. You know, I think we're right about on time here, if not 5 minutes over. So I want to invite the worship team up, and I just want to pray quickly. You know, if today's the day, you know, you never received the Lord. You've never asked for forgiveness. You know, you don't have to understand anything much more than Jesus is the one in whom you need to trust. Him, he is who can give you rest for your souls. And if you're burdened this morning, you know, your assignment for this week, we can throw it up on the screen here. Your assignment for the week is this: enter into prayer alone. That means carve out that time. Write any burdens down. You're laying burdens down. You got a journal? Write them down. Bring a pencil with you. Ask what the Lord has for you. You know, find days to do this. If you can do it every day, praise God. But we need to find rest. We need to enter into rest. And if you have never received from God that salvation, today's the day. Do not wait. If you've got burdens already, you're like, I don't even know if I can do this assignment. I am so weighed down. Do it now. We're going to have a prayer team up here. Come forward. You know, after this song, we'll be pretty much on time. There's 30 minutes in between services. You don't got to rush out of here. Come forward. Receive prayer. Give those things to the Lord. And if you've never received it, receive salvation. Put your trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the simplicity of it, but also the depth that can drive to the heart of our difficulties. God, we give you the glory and the honor this morning, knowing that you have invited us into rest. You've offered us something we desperately need. And some of us, we want it. We desperately want it. Help us, God. Help us to receive that rest. And as we prayed for service, I pray for Jerry. Lord, that the whole point of this is to refresh his soul. May you help him find rest as we ourselves are seeking the very same. Holy Spirit, help us. Guide us, Lord. Lead us in the way everlasting. We need it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with us. We're going to sing to the Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fight, time after time. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, Lord, who
hurt.
pray you guys have a good day, and that you continue to have those quiet times with the Lord, and just trust in Him and trust in His faithfulness, and He will guide you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.